It's just talking about praying. Matthew 6:6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I want to say a few words about some things I've learned in the closet. I've learned a lot of things in this world, learned a lot of things studying the Bible. I have a hunger for learning. I carry books with me, books in my room, not only about the Bible, but about other things. I have a book now in my room, Anatomy and Physiology for Dummies, and that's what I need. And I have a hunger, and I've learned some things, but I've never learned as much anywhere in school or out as I've learned in the closet. I've learned that it pays to wait on the Lord. I feel like at times I must be a failure in prayer. I've studied about praying. It's been a subject for me. I realized its importance in my life and the life of every sinner and every Christian. And so I've made it a point to study prayer and still realize I know very little about it. But I know when I am and when I ain't. And I found out it pays to wait on the Lord. I said last night I found out it's not today's prayers that does good today, but it's yesterday's prayers that does good today and today's prayers that do good tomorrow. I found out you can't pray every time you go. In fact, I found out it's almost impossible to pray without an invitation. Now, don't y'all leave me. Just stay with me a few minutes. I thought about this a long time, about getting an invitation to pray. And I thought about, well, I've went lots of times and didn't have an invitation. That has nothing to do with it. You ought to go every chance you get, talk to God. I never stop and get a hamburger at McDonald's on my way to a meeting without I stop before I pull out on the road and say, thank you, God, for something to eat. And we ought to thank Him in everything. The Bible said, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. But really, to pray, you've got to have an invitation. Now, sometimes I go to pray and don't have an invitation, but after I get there and get started, the invitation comes. And in the closet, just between me and God, there's been very few times now. Now, you'll be tolerant with me, and I know it might break what you believed in and want people to think. There's very few times in the church that you get in the closet. Is that right or not? Very few times you're bound here around the altar that you get in the closet, and I'm afraid that a lot of times in church you're praying for somebody's ears besides God's. But all the times, bless His name, that I've got in the closet pays for the times that I couldn't. And did you know, clear in my memory, just about every time that I've got in the closet and got the door shut and shut out the world, I remember it. There's something about getting in contact and getting a hold of the hem of the garment. It's stamped on my mind. That morning I got in. I've got in on the hillside and a few times in the church, in the motel rooms, out and down across the country. You think, you know, with a preacher out carrying on meetings, he never has any rough, hard times. Some of the roughest times in my life has been in a lonely motel room. My house and my church up yonder almost taking care of itself. And me down here hid in a little old room and trying to preach. and get in the closet. Got down by the side of my bed. I'm glad I got an end room. Got up against that outside wall this morning between my bed and the wall, and the window opened and the door opened, and I got to talk to the Father.
Yes, amen.
Bless His name. The things I've learned in the closet. I've learned it doesn't make any difference whether you're rich or poor. Everybody's on the same level in the closet. The doctor and the lawyer and the dean of the college and the little old plowboy. Everything's the same when you get in the closet. Ain't you glad of that? And it don't make any difference if you can't say but two or three words. I've learned in the closet, it's not the multitude of words. It's not the quantity. It's the quality.
Yeah.
I hear people talk about praying 4 and 5 hours a day. I really doubt that. Yeah. I'm going to pray. You really pray 3 hours a day. Somebody's going to have to carry you to the table.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
And I've learned it doesn't make any difference who you are and how much you know. I've learned that it's how serious you are. You're not serious-minded, forget it. Might as well be doing something else. And I've learned prayers between you and Him. Now, I need to qualify that, I guess. If you could ever get to the place in the closet when there's nobody but you and Him, I'm talking about get everything else out of your mind and have purpose. When I've really prayed, I've prayed with purpose. For things that I knew that I needed and wanted, and got specific. A lot of folks say, get up and confess and say, if I've ever done anything to hurt anybody, I'm sorry. That's the sorriest confession I ever heard. You know what you did. Just tell what you did. And when you come to God, don't beat around the bush. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. And I found out you got to be honest with Him. Absolutely honest with God. Nothing else will work. If you kind of beat around the bush, you're never going to get in.
Right.
Tell Him about your dirty, low-down sins.
God bless you.
I was across Lake Pontchartrain from New Orleans, and I can't think of the name of the little old town, carrying on revival meeting. And was having a great meeting. There'd already probably been 10 folks saved. And there's a lady, a distinguished lady, one night, I told the preacher she needed to talk to me. And he told her, said, we'll meet with you and my wife and Brother Milby and me. And we met, and she was a mortician and very educated and distinguished. And she said, Brother Milby, I've got a problem. And she said, I've always thought us all right, always thought us saved. But she said, what you preached this week, if it's really a personal thing, if you can really know, if it's not just joining the church and being baptized and doing good, if it's deeper than that, I don't have it. If what you're talking about being born again is life-changing, if it's really something comes into you and lives in you and makes a different person out of you, I don't have it and I want it. And I said, ma'am, you can have it. God's dealing with your heart.
Amen.
And I said, I'm going to tell you what you do next time God's pulling on you. And by the way, you can't get saved if God's not pulling on you.
You're right.
This little old confession business at the front door is not going to get the job done. But if the Holy Spirit's pulling on you, you can get in. Same way with praying. If the Holy Spirit's inviting you, and I'm going to tell you there's been a few times when I didn't have to go through all the preliminaries. When the closet door's open, you just go in and fall down and you're in the presence of the Almighty. The next night I prayed and gave an invitation. Here come that distinguished lady, had an altar rail set up out away from the pulpit area, and she fell down over there, and the pastor ran over there, and he came back in a few minutes embarrassed and said, Brother Milby, that woman's telling God every old wicked sin she's ever done. And said, I can't stay over there. I said, don't leave her alone. She's a confessing to God. She realizes there's something she needs that she does not have. After a while, that lady stood up after, I guess, 30 minutes of praying and screamed and said, Preacher Milby, I've traded head knowledge for heart knowledge. And said, I got him. Bless the Lord. Just being honest. If you're not going to be honest with God, who would you be honest with? And I've learned in the closet.
Yes, amen.
Make any difference what denomination you are. I think enough praying to make a Baptist out of you.
Yeah.
But it don't make any difference what you are. If you go in the right attitude and are willing to wait on the Lord, He'll meet with you.
Yes, amen.
I have a friend who's holding a meeting in the mountains. He sat out on the front porch. He said, we ate breakfast. The preachers used to stay with families. They did back then. He had stayed with them and ate breakfast. And as a fellow on down the valley just a little ways was in the meeting, said he went up on the hill chopping out corn and he's watching it. And he said he chopped it down a row and came back a row, had laid his hoe down, went out in the bushes, and he heard him begin, "Our Father in heaven." And he said it went on 10 or 15 minutes and come back out and got his hoe and hoed three or four rows, getting just closer to the top of the hill. And he laid his hoe down again, went back out in the bushes and started, "Our Father in heaven." He said it went on a little longer that time. He came back out and hoed a little and come back out and tried to pray. And just as he topped over the hill, he saw him lay his hoe down again. And he couldn't hear him pray that time, but after a while he heard him holler and saw him throw that hoe back off towards the house, hollering, "Glory to God." You know what happened to him? He got in the closet.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Blessed be God. You can get in too. If you want to have a revival meeting, it'll have to start. Your revival meeting will start in the closet. It won't start here in the altar of the church. It'll start in your closet. I found out your closet can be behind the steering wheel.
Yes.
Amen. The times I've driven and the tears running down till I couldn't see the road and the Holy Ghost took over and drove for me.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
If you want to learn, you want to learn about your children, how to deal with your children, you can learn in the closet. Did you know when I confessed the call to preach, I'd never heard a preacher preach, "Oh, you ought to dress right." I'd never heard a preacher tell about really how you ought to be. I was reared in a liberal church, really about being born again. Never heard a man of God say you'll have to hear preaching before you can get under conviction. Never heard a man of God say that. Shame, shame. I'd heard my daddy pray, though.
Yeah.
And I'd heard him get in the closet of praying and pray food in on our table. And I knew there's a place you could get to that would wipe out your worries. I've learned the closet will wipe out your worries. Oh, they may come back tomorrow, but you can get back in the closet if you want to. In the closet, you can forget your financial worries.
Yeah.
Make any difference whether you've got any money or not. Thank God.
Amen.
And make you not worry about the hospital. It'll make you not worry about the funeral home. The closet, pray. Some of you in here with silver in your hair, you'd say, "What brought you through?" If I was to ask you this morning, you'd say, "My closet brought me through. My window open towards home, talking to God Almighty." Ain't you glad this morning the things you've learned in the closet? I'm glad I'm saved. It's a privilege this morning that I'm acquainted with the closet. I wake up sometimes in the night. Every night, sometime between 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock, I wake up and get up and set up for an hour or an hour and a half and read the Bible and pray. But some mornings I wake up and I feel this in my soul from the Lord. And I get up and go where He is. And when I get on my knees, I realize I'm in the closet. There's never been any fellowship like fellowship with Him in the closet.
You're right, brother.
I've gone to my prayer place and for 15 minutes, Brother Virgil, didn't do nothing but scream, "Help! Help, Lord! Help, Lord!" I couldn't say anything else. That's all what I wanted. That's what I had to have, was help from God. And scream, "Help, Lord, help!" But after a while, help came. The only reason you're where you are this morning spiritually is because of the closet. I'm thankful for what I've heard this morning. And